house of God this morning? Awesome. Well, because I have the microphone and because you probably would hate me to do this, I'm going to do it anyway. Would you just help me wish my wife the happiest of birthdays this morning? It is her birthday today. She's incredible, and she'll hate me for this later. But it's also, yeah, she probably hates me for it now. If she starts to walk out, just, you know. It's also Palm Sunday. Easter's next Sunday. Oh, come on, Easter is next Sunday, right? And today marks Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the day that Jesus entered in as king, but the way he wanted to enter in. Maybe not the way people would have expected, but as a king of a kingdom not of this world. Amen? And true to Jesus' ways, he came in a way that would teach and that would disciple people for generations to come from that moment. That he would disciple and teach them in a way that Jesus, what that was not just an account. What we're here today on Palm Sunday was not just celebrating the account of him entering into a place. It was him entering in as king. Amen? It was him entering in as the complete package. And it's something that he's still doing today, wanting to enter in to our hearts completely as king. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 28. It's Jesus' triumphal entry. If you don't have your Bible, you want a printed copy, there might be one under the chair. If not, if you have your smartphone, you can download YouVersion and follow us along there as well. And while you're doing that, let me just say, it's so good to see all of you here this morning. It's going to be an incredible morning this morning. We're going to have so much fun and just digging into what this means to have Jesus triumphantly enter into our lives. Not just in the pieces that we can accept or the pieces that we like or the pieces that don't push our comfort zones, but as Jesus coming in as king. Amen? Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 42. I want to read this entire account for what it is. And then we're going to kind of dig into this and see what we could pull from it as far as how we can apply him wanting his kingship in our lives today. It says, after Jesus had said this, speaking of a parable he just was going over, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. They only wanted him to enter in as much less than what they were calling him. There were people there who only wanted him to be recognized and known for something much less than what he actually was. And it says, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what you bring, what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The leading question, the overarching questions and thoughts this morning is, do we miss opportunities to see Jesus work in our lives because of the way he wants to enter in versus how we expect him to enter in? He wants to bring it all. Amen? We want a logical entrance that satisfies self. And he wants a kingdom entrance that defies self. So what does that mean? It sounds good. What does it mean? Well, let's dig into this triumphant entrance, this Palm Sunday, and see if we can figure some of that out. But first, can I pray, and would you pray with me as we begin this celebration of all that Jesus is bringing to the table, His complete package, His kingship over our lives. Would you do that with me? Father, we're so glad to be here this morning. As we lift our hands, we lift our hearts, and we shout with our voices the praises of Your people to You. As we lift You up and recognize You not just as something we can deal with or something that we're comfortable with, that You come in as King. You come in as the complete package. That You're coming into our hearts wanting to have it all. And so we ask this morning, Lord, that You would just spur our hearts on. Holy Spirit, nudge us closer to You this morning. Help us to see not just the big picture of being King of our heart, but that in the littlest of things in our life, that You want to come in as King. And so, Father, we bless You. We love You. Just have Your way in this place. In Your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. His entrance into Jerusalem that day was a teaching moment. It was a disciple-making moment. It was a faith-building moment, a revelation-inspiring moment. And I know we only read a short amount, and in context, it doesn't seem very long. But all of this is found in that account. That would remind every generation from there forward of Jesus' goal, the heart of the Father, which was and is and will always be to redeem, to restore, to tear the veil of separation, bottom line, to enter fully into relationship with His people in all areas of our lives. And that He paid a great price to provide that type of relationship. A relationship that goes beyond just allowing Him to enter in when convenient, or enter our lives in a way that makes sense, or to enter in a way that is just good advice, but to open the door for Him to enter in completely. To enter in as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. To enter in as Jehovah Shalom, our perfect peace. To enter in as Jehovah Rapha, our healer. To enter in as Jehovah Nisi, God, our banner, victory through Jesus. Come on, somebody should be getting excited in this place. As Jehovah, as Adonai, our Lord, as our Savior, as our King. Not to look at that list and pick and choose what works best for us in a day-to-day basis. But that He comes in as King. The entire package. Amen? There were those in the crowd, I pointed out briefly, that said, teacher. There are those in the crowd saying, King. And they say, teacher, rebuke these disciples. They wanted Him to come in only in a way that felt right for them. That only worked for them. And Jesus says, no, I'm coming in as King. I believe this moment, this triumphal entry, leaves a framework for how Jesus wants to enter into every facet of our lives today, inviting us into this constant entering in process. This idea that we all know in our heads to be true, that Jesus desires to triumphantly enter into all of us. All of our pain, all of our fears, all of our circumstances, all of our marriages, relationships, everything. His kingdom, His ways, His authority, His love, His peace, His vision for victory in your life and mine to rise above what we think, how we think it should go, or how we think it should look. It's a framework to see what's going on beneath the surface, because again, this is more than just an account of Jesus walking into Jerusalem. There is something happening beneath the surface, amen? To abide in His kingdom, no matter how it appears to you and I. And that though He never leaves us nor forsakes us, we know that there is a part of us to play. There's a part for us to play in this relationship. Abiding in His desire to enter into all of our life. This is not a formula, guys. It's not a four-point sermon to solve all your problems. But keys to a reality that when we invite and allow Jesus to enter into all that we do and all that we go through, and that though it's not always what we expect, it is, however, everything we're going to need. In this beautiful entrance that we're going to be talking about this morning, I see some key things working here. I see some things at play here that as I was studying, was just radically changing my thought process of this entire encounter. And there was just a few keys that the Holy Spirit just pointed out to me. And I'm just going to rattle them off, but we're going to dive deeper into them as we go this morning. But in this beautiful entrance, I see people preparing the way. I see obedience happening in this encounter. I see disciples trusting in God's provision. I see people declaring Jesus' kingship over them. But first, before we talk about those keys, we need to understand just what this meant to Jesus. I mean, try to put yourself in his shoes for a moment. That maybe there was something more to this entry that he was seeing than just the literal sense of coming to Jerusalem. And as I do sometimes, let me start toward the end in the scripture we just read. Let's read in verse 41 and 42, and then start to peel back the layers here of what he is still teaching us today about being the king of our hearts. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. There's only two times in scripture that it says Jesus wept. And we often see Jesus filled with a longing for his people. And that all the people that he meets, whether they're sick or they're sinners, they need to be restored. They all come before him and he invites them to see their wholeness before God. Here he looks at the city of Jerusalem and weeps for its people, wishing that it might receive what God is offering them. If I consider how Jesus looks at my life, I realize that he does in fact long to see me grow. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus longs to see you grow? For me to embrace all the possibilities that God offers to me each and every day. The possibilities that he offers me in every relationship that I try to foster. The possibilities that he has for me in my marriage. The possibilities he has for me in raising my children. And that sometimes I miss it because I'm not allowing him to engage and enter into every aspect of those situations. But because of my desire to do it my way or to see something work out the way I desire, I can find myself being blind to what God is offering me, hidden from me, because of not seeing him for all of those things that I mentioned before. That if we neglect to see that, if we neglect to see that there is always an alternative, right? If we neglect to see that there's always an offer of life, an offer of allowing him to enter in, then we miss his kingly perspective in very key moments in our life. We miss that fatherly advice that he so desires to give. He wants to give that to us if we allow him to enter in as king. His loving ways and his needed grace and mercy in all that we are, in all that we do in this life. I can only imagine in this moment being fully man and fully God, looking over the people and knowing what's to come. Right? An overwhelming realization that these people, and for generations to come, are going to be able to enter into him, and he and them, and they will experience life and life more abundant. That would be overwhelming for me. Can you imagine that? That he's seeing what is being offered to his people, and he's just, I can't only imagine, I don't know what exactly I can't, was not there, I'm not him, I don't, when I hear that he wept, and he's coming as the offering of king, of a king to their lives. To know that there is a bigger package that they're getting ready to sign for. Not just what they want Jesus to be like, not to be just the aspects of him that they can handle or understand. But that there is a bigger picture that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem saying, I'm much more than what you've seen at this point. I have much more to offer you than what you know. All these parables and talks of the kingdom and all of these things, I'm coming in as king. He comes up and looks over the city and over all the people and he weeps. And there are those praising his name in the crowd. Hosanna, Hosanna, declaring him as king. Then there are those that only refer to him, and I mentioned this before, as teacher, wanting all of these other people to be rebuked for entering into a reality that he was so much more. This life of only allowing the teacher to teach when it fits our agenda. This idea, this life of only allowing the healer to heal when it's convenient. This idea, this life of only allowing the provider to provide as long as we're still in control. This life of only allowing him to be peace as long as the storm stays mild. To only allow him to be king of the parts of us that we're okay with letting go of. Jesus wants to bring all of that to the table. He wants to bring all of him to the table when he enters in. To take his rightful place in us all. Amen? How can we discern this? How can we walk in this? How can we not miss all of the possibilities in our everyday life? It's going to be a cliche thing, but hopefully it's just something you can hear and remember. It's by letting him triumphantly enter in as king. Letting him triumphantly enter in as king of our heart. Amen? Remember I said that there were going to be some keys in this encounter that hopefully make that stick a little bit more. Some keys that will hopefully grab a hold of us. This prophecy fulfilled that maybe for nothing else will be a launching point for you and I this morning where we can put a little bit more meat on the bones when we hear the words entering in. Because if you've been in church for any amount of time, we've probably heard that. We're going to enter into the presence of God this morning. We are inviting him to enter into our lives. Do we realize we're inviting all of him? When we pray for him into our marriage, it's not just going to be the things we like to hear. It's going to be the things we need to hear because we're inviting all of him. Amen? And by the way, with every key, try to imagine this morning how you would implement this in whatever it is you're going through this morning. How you can see Jesus entering into an area of your life if you just begin to do a few of these things. As we look at this encounter, this time of entering in as king, what happens to our lives when we start to look at what we go through the lens of him being king? That word is a little bigger than I think we give it credit for. The first of which is we see the disciples preparing the way. They laid their cloaks and palm branches and made a way for Jesus to enter. In verse 36, it says that as he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. And in Matthew and Mark, it speaks of the palm branches and such. I think that in life, we have a tendency of shooting from the hip a little too quickly. I think we have a tendency of assuming a little too much and a little too quick. We have a tendency of reacting. We dive in without first preparing a way, and this is key, for Jesus to have a say. When he enters in as king in our lives, what we're saying is, Jesus, we want you to have a say in what we're doing. Not come in the aftermath of us making all these bad decisions and not listening to what you're asking us to do, but that what you have a say right here, right now, because you are king. After digging into some of these words used here in the scripture, I found that the word spread in this tense in the Greek is this really big word that starts with an H and ends with an O. But it means spread out underneath. It's in this tense that indicates a continued action, meaning they kept on spreading their cloaks on the road. Spreading clothing to carpet one's pathway was a way to honor a person. It was to honor them. And I believe that as we continually prepare the way for Jesus to have a say in our lives, not just when things hit the fan, but truly allow him to enter in, it honors our King. Yeah. Instead of missing the peace and missing the possibilities of Jesus in the moment, Jesus looks out with joy to see that his people aren't missing all that he wants to bring into every situation. He wept. But I believe we could bring him joy as we say, Lord, have your say. You are not just teacher today. You're not just the healer when I need you, but you're king of my life. Second thing we see in this encounter, this incredible entrance that the king makes is this act of obedience. As Jesus enters in, we see that were acts of obedience on the part of the disciples. It says it in 29, part of 29 and 30. He says, he sent two of his disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say that the Lord needs it. And in John's account, it says that the disciples didn't understand this fully until after Jesus was glorified. Then it made sense. But nonetheless, Jesus said, go into town, okay? Go into this town, go into this village, walk all the way over there, and you're going to find this donkey that's never been ridden before. And oh, by the way, it belongs to someone else. It's okay. Just tell them the Lord needs it. Donkey theft. I mean, that's... Right? Obedience leads to blessing. When we prepare the way and invite him into our lives, we're going to start going through this one by one as we keep adding something to it. When we prepare the way and invite him into everything, relationships, marriages, financing, callings, jobs, even how we enter into him in this place and in our personal worship time, we see, like in verse 42, instead of being blind to what brings peace into all of those things, we say, Jesus, enter in and give me the insight. Give me the kingdom perspective. Bring hope where there is no hope. And then here's the key thing that obedience is always going to have with it, an instruction. Jesus is going, as we invite him in, as we prepare for him to be king of our hearts, and we say, Jesus, have a say in what we're going through. He's going to come in and begin to speak life, begin to speak hope, and then he's going to give instruction. This is the part that we sometimes will start to zone out in. Jesus, I want to know everything's going to be good. I just want to hear the good, fuzzy things that make me feel good. What, you're asking me to go steal, go get a donkey? No, I don't want to do that right now. I just want you to make this feel better. We're getting ready to enter in. You're a king. This is awesome. Yeah, but I need you to go get me something. I need you to go get this. Obedience leads to blessing. Abraham was obedient and going to a place that he had never been before, only to find his inheritance. All throughout Scripture, we find God's wisdom and instruction that's intended to bring those who hear it and those who obey it blessings. When we invite and allow Jesus to enter into our lives, into our stuff, the way he wants to, and nudges the way he wants to, and then says that there is a donkey way over there that I need you to go get, what is our response going to be? We all have them. There's something that Jesus says, great, you've invited me in, you've prepared the way for me to have a say in your life, and we're working through this stuff. There's a donkey I need you to get. What is our response to that? When Jesus enters into our marriage and says that there is a peace that I want for you in this, but I have a donkey for you to go get, maybe the donkey is giving more attention. Maybe the donkey is giving something up that takes too much of our time. Maybe the donkey is fill in the blank. But that when we ask him to come in, we ask him to come in as king. Obedience is trusting God's word. To do that, we have to decide what is the final authority in our lives. Is it logic? Is it feelings? Is it fear? Is it just what our eyes can see? Or is it his word? Is it his promises? Is it trusting Scripture when it says, in God, all things work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose? The disciples got the donkey, trusting that it was there, even though they couldn't see it in that moment. Obedience leads to blessing, not the other way around. The third thing that I see in this incredible, beautiful entrance that Jesus makes as king is that it leads us to God's provision as he enters in. As we prepare the way and say, Jesus, have a say. And as he begins to speak to us and give us instruction and we begin to obey it, we begin to see the great provision of God. It says in verse 32, those who were set ahead, again, rereading from just before, and found it just as they had told him, as they were untying the colt, the owners asked him, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. Now, I really wish this would work. I wish that if I went... I wish that if I went to the Bass Pro Shops and started to walk out with just bundles of fishing poles under my arms, I would hope the conversation would go, sir, why are you taking all those fishing poles? The Lord needs it. And then I wish they would just let me walk out. I'm going to ask one of you guys to do that for me and let me know how that goes. And if it goes well for you, I'll try it next. But one more time, they went and found it just as he had told them. What Jesus said was there, was there. When he said that he was the light, he was the light. When he said he is the way, he is the way. He meant it. The disciples had to walk all the way to the village trusting that Jesus was telling the truth. And that there was indeed a donkey provided to fulfill the prophecy found in Zechariah 9:9 when it says the coming of Zion's king. It says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Not only as Jesus is entering Jerusalem, providing the donkey to fulfill this particular prophecy, but in the bigger picture is literally actually providing himself for salvation. He is providing salvation to his people. So many acts of provision in this one encounter of him coming in as king. Jehovah Jireh, our provider, remember? When we say to Jesus, when we say, you can have access into our lives, and we're inviting you to enter in and for the Holy Spirit to have his way in our lives, so when we prepare the way for him to have a say in our lives, and he brings instruction for us to obey it, which is go get that donkey, and then we do, he will provide what we need in that instruction. Fourth thing that I see in this beautiful entrance is we see the disciples declaring Jesus' kingship. Humble, loving, sacrificing, merciful, all to redeem us, a beautiful king, powerful king. So we can boldly enter into all that he has come to do. Beyond heaven when we die, but to a life and a life more abundant in the here and now. Verse 37, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace and heaven and glory in the highest. David said it as well in Psalms chapter 18, verse 3. I called on the Lord who is worthy of my praise, and he saved me from my enemies. I called on the Lord who is worthy of my praise, and he saved me from my enemies. When we prepare the way for him to enter in to all of us, into all that we do, not just the one and done kind of stuff, but a life of saying, Jesus, have your way in me. Whatever donkey I need to go get, I'll go get. Because I know you're going to provide it. And to all that lies against me, I will proclaim your kingship over it. I will proclaim you being king over my life, the things that I'm going through, the things I'm inviting you into, the things in my marriage, in my life, with my kids. You are king over it all. Because you are the Messiah, our Savior, Emmanuel, our blessed Redeemer, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, the Glorious One. What else do you need to know about the King of all? Amen? His kingship must be declared over our lives, over our families, over our marriages, over our finances, over everything. I want to spend some time with you guys this morning in prayer as we continue to enter in to this idea of him coming, not just in an account of coming to a place, but him coming in as king and is offering himself, offering the possibilities, the boundless possibility, endless possibilities to a people if they would just welcome him in as king. Not to be the ones in the crowd that said, teacher, because he is a teacher. He is a healer. He is a provider. But he's all of that stuff. And when we invite him into certain areas of our life, we have a habit of only allowing the parts of him that we're comfortable with to enter in. We only allow the parts that aren't going to move us or shake us or change us. And Jesus says, I want to come in as king. And in this particular moment in Scripture, he's only been one or the other to certain people throughout Scripture. And it's in this moment that he says, no, I'm the complete package. I'm everything. I want to invite the worship team, and actually even at this point, I want to invite the prayer team to come up this morning. I've got a few more words here. I've got a few more things to share. But I want us to be ready. I want us to even now, guys, begin to invite Jesus to enter in as king. Can you imagine our lives? Can you imagine our situations? Can you imagine our circumstances? The transformation that is possible that can happen if we don't just say he's here, but allow him to actually enter in the way that he wants to. Can you imagine the shift that takes place when it's not just Jesus here, it's Jesus entering in completely as who he was meant to be, king of our heart. Amen? As our provider, as our perfect peace, as our healer, as our victory, as our Lord, as our king. Let's enter in this morning. Let's be those disciples that were preparing the way for Jesus to come in how he wanted to. They probably envisioned a king riding in on a white stallion with jewels in his crown. But he was coming as the king of all, of a kingdom not of this world. Something that would bypass what we see with our natural eyes. Something that we would have to have faith to dive into and say, Jesus, have your way in my life, even if it doesn't look the way that I think that it should look. Do we prepare the way for his kingship in our lives? Bottom line is, does he have a say? Does he have a say? Does he have a say in your marriage? Does he have a say in your finances? Does he have a say with your children? Does he have a say at your workplace? What donkey have you been asked to get so that that peace might not be hidden from you? Do you believe that when he enters in and we make ourselves open to his ways, that he will provide? Do you believe it? Is it your stuff, your situations that has authority? Or does Jesus have all authority? Do we cry out, Hosanna, or are we the ones who call out for the peace of Jesus that we need or can accept? Let's praise him. Let's worship him. Let's honor him by preparing the way for him to enter in this morning into our lives. Can we welcome him in as a complete package? I think when Jesus was looking over the people and began to weep, I think he knew the package that they were getting ready to get. He knew what was available. He knew what the possibilities were going to be. He knew that there was going to be a relationship where he was in them and they in him, and they were going to have a relationship where they are constantly working together. They're constantly speaking to each other. They're constantly inviting each other into one another's lives. Do we make that way in our life today? Is he coming into your life today as king? Would you stand with me this morning? Would you bow your heads and just close your eyes and just listen for a moment? Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to come into this place. Well, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel logical. This isn't the way I thought it was going to go. It's all right. I'm king. I want to come in and do it the way I want to do it. I don't want you to pick and choose the pieces of me that work. I want to come in as king, Jesus says. will you prepare your heart for me to enter in? Will you prepare your heart for me to have a say? And then as you and I begin to do this thing called life, this relationship that was provided by my sacrifice, the tearing of this veil that no longer creates a separation between us, but that we can do life, we can speak to each other, we can have intimate moments together, and that as you prepare that way in your heart, and as you say, Jesus, you can have a say in this area of my life. I want you to have a say. I want to open up. I want to make a way for you to have a say. Then as he begins to call out those donkeys, as he says to go get this or to go do that, and the instruction begins to come, and we obey that instruction, and the blessings pour out, and he begins to provide for all of those things that we didn't think were going to be able to be provided for, those things that we didn't think were going to work out. That as we start walking to a place, we have no clue where we're going. We're told to go get that donkey that's over there. We're believing it's there. We're going because Jesus said it was there. And that as we obey and we see his provision, we declare his kingship over our lives. Because he's worthy to be king. And in this triumphant entry that we've been talking about all this morning, screams out that he is worthy to be king. This morning, that might be you. It's been a while since you've prepared the way for Jesus to enter into certain areas of your life. It's been a while since Jesus has given you an instruction that was maybe a little weird for you or a little unexpected and kind of brushed it off. Maybe there's this growing thing inside where the faith that he will provide is dwindling away. Maybe it's been forever since you've declared his kingship over your marriage, that you've declared his kingship over your children, that he's declared his kingship over whatever addiction that you might be going through. It's been a while since you've declared who he rightfully is in our life. This morning, I invite you to come and get prayer. This Palm Sunday, this triumphant entrance, let him triumphantly enter in. He's here. So much better when we actually enter in with if I could have the prayer team to come to the front, across the front here. If that's you this morning, I'd love for you to come up. And maybe you have a completely different reason for coming up and getting prayer. That's totally, totally great. I encourage you to come up and get prayer. But as the band leads us in worship, as we spend more time in his presence, begin to prepare the way for him to have a say in your life. As we go through Palm Sunday and Passion Week, and we get to Easter, let's continue this process of allowing him to enter in. Let that two words be more than what you've ever heard before. You've heard it before. You've probably heard it 1,000 times. Enter in, enter in, enter in. There is so much more meat to those words. There's so much more of a reality to living in a way where we are preparing the kingship of Jesus to enter into our lives. Father, we love you this morning. Would your church begin to lift your hands, begin to pray, begin to prepare as they lay their cloaks down over and over again, preparing the way to honor King Jesus. To honor him. Let us honor him by preparing the way in our lives. Let us honor him by saying, Jesus, you do have a say. You have more of a say than what I've been allowing you to say. I know you're here. It's time that I invite you to enter into all of me. Father, there are aspects that I have pushed away. things I don't understand. You're doing things in ways I don't expect. But I say this morning, it doesn't matter how it looks to me, that Jesus, you're coming in as King. You're coming in as King. Father, let us prepare the way. Make you King of our hearts, Father. In your precious name we pray. And all God's people say, let's worship. Let's worship this morning, guys.